As we take a look at people that do amazing and interesting things across the country for so many different communities, today we're talking about something called the Aurora Education Foundation. Lila Smith is the CEO and also an Aurora alumni. And from what I've read, there's no way I can introduce her properly or try to sum up what they do. So why don't we just get Lila to do it? Hello, Lila.
Hi, Trevor. This is no easy feat. But what I might do is just give an overarching example, and then, you know, we can deep dive into the different areas as we go. But look, essentially Aurora is an Aboriginal organisation, and we deliver 5 education programs for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students and scholars and professionals. And those programs are really about using the lever of education to enable Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people to be whatever it is that they want to be, from year 7 through to PhDs at Oxford and everything in between. And it's about creating a structured pipeline of programs so that Indigenous success happens by design and not by chance.
That's huge. So going from primary school through to the possibilities of going to university overseas.
It's quite rare to have that scope and that breadth, particularly in not only the education space but the Aboriginal education space as well. But it's also our strength because it means you get networks all the way across that education pipeline as well.
So it isn't your job to educate. It's your job to find pathways to be able to do the things that you want to do.
That is exactly right. So we look at what's happening in the system, in the education system. So that can be high schools or universities or TAFE, and also programs that help people transition from education into the workplace, and look at supports that we can add where there are gaps in that system.
That is so good, because quite often within communities, it could be parents who go to university or have gone to university. It could be parents or friends of family or anybody who works within institutions that can provide those links. And if you don't necessarily have those links, you're automatically disadvantaged.
Oh, absolutely. And that was my experience as well as a student. I was by chance that I ended up in university. I just happened to sit next to somebody at the right place at the right time. He told me about the pathways. And I don't know what my journey into university would have been if it hadn't been for that. And so many people, you know, they look back on their education journey and they say it was that one teacher or that one person or that one auntie or uncle. And I don't think that's good enough. I think we need to look back and say it was this program and it was this structured interaction that did it for me, so that as many people can have that opportunity as possible.
It's almost like formalising that old school tie thing. You know, if you go to the right place, then you've got the right connections. So you don't necessarily have to go to the right place, in inverted commas.
Oh, absolutely. It is absolutely the way. And the further I have found through my own education journey that I have been into those kind of circles where it is, you know, the old school tie, it's quite infuriating, but feel this privilege to be in those circles, but also frustrated and furious that it's locking some people out who didn't have the opportunity to be in the room in the first place.
Yeah, I love that idea. I hate the idea of people getting automatic connections when they don't necessarily deserve it. Anyway, that's a whole other story that I'm sure we could talk about at length on another occasion. Can you give us an example of how it works?
Yeah, sure. So it might be best to explain it. The way that it works is really best described through the eyes of the students themselves. And also, I might maybe perhaps even through my own eyes as well, who's been the recipient of those services as well as the CEO of the organisation now. So when I was in high school, for instance, I was a nerd. But when I was in those kind of more academic circles, I never felt like I quite belonged. And when I was hanging out with my Aboriginal friends, I didn't really feel like I belonged because I was academic and I didn't know what it meant to be a nerdy Aboriginal person. I didn't know what that identity looked like. And it was when these two worlds came together that I realised that being academic and Aboriginal, it didn't make you any less of either. Mm. It actually made you a stronger person by combining those two journeys. So I was in year 12 and I happened to sit next to the father of an Aboriginal classmate of mine, and he said, "What do you want to do next year?" And I said, "I think I want to go to university, but I'm not sure if I've got the grades that are good enough to get in. And he said that he happens to be the head of the Aboriginal Centre at ANU and invited me into campus. It was the first time I'd ever been on a university campus. And he told me about alternative entry schemes and the supports that were available for Aboriginal students at the university. And when I arrived at that Aboriginal Centre, it was like these two worlds, that academic world and that Aboriginal identity just combined, and I thrived. I got a part-time job as a research assistant, and I was working with this Aboriginal historian, Gordon Briscoe. And Gordon was so excited. He came up to me one day at work and said, Leela, you wouldn't believe this. They've launched a new scholarship, and it's run by this organisation called Aurora, and it's for Aboriginal students to study at Oxford and Cambridge. It's called the Charlie Perkins Scholarship, and Charlie was Gordon's best friend, and Charlie had passed away about 5 years earlier. And Charlie was one of the first Aboriginal men to graduate from university in the 1960s. Mm. So Gordon was so excited that they'd launched this scholarship and that this organisation called Aurora was administering it. And I said to Gordon, you know, this is so lovely. And then when he walked out of the room, I chucked the piece of paper in the bin. And I was doing well at uni. I mean, I was getting good grades, but I had no idea. I thought, this is so sweet, this is not for me. And that idea in your head that as an Aboriginal student your success is limited is so pervasive, you know, it wasn't for me, I wasn't set to go to Oxford and Cambridge, very sweet. So it was by chance that I ended up at the award ceremony 2 years later for that scholarship. My boss wasn't able to make it, so he sent me instead, and I saw these three Aboriginal scholars on their way to Oxford and Cambridge under this scholarship, the Charlie Perkins Scholarship, and I realised that they weren't mythical superheroes, but they were just like me, just as nervous and just as excited about the opportunity. So I went from throwing that piece of paper in the bin to going back to work and telling my boss I wanted to apply for a scholarship to go to Cambridge as well. And that certainly has been my journey. We've had 70 scholars who've studied overseas at universities like Oxford and Cambridge and Harvard and many others.
Can I just ask you about the opportunities for young Indigenous people in remote areas and how Aurora works with those young people?
Sure. So as far as the international scholarships go, around 66% of our scholars come from rural or regional areas. Around 70% come from public schools as well. With our high school program, we work with around 250 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander high school students, and they're in Western Sydney, Southwest WA, and around the Perth region. So we cover both urban and regional areas as well for our high school program too. With remote, there is one other area of work that we do that's really important for Aboriginal organisations and people in remote areas, and that is our internships program. So we run over the past 10 years over 3,000 internships. It's about building leadership and employability and capacity in the sector. And 50% are Aboriginal organisations, places like the Northern Land Council, the Alice Springs Ambulance Service, Northern Australian Aboriginal Justice Agency. So we do a lot of capacity building for organisations and Indigenous interns as well.
That's an awful lot. How big an organisation is the project itself, is the organisation?
So in terms of staff, we are at around 30 permanent staff across two central offices in WA and also in here in Sydney, where I'm calling in from today. Hmm. But we really do punch above our weight in terms of impact and scope. And the way that we reach that scale geographically, internationally, across the breadth of what we do is through data and evidence and really focusing on what are the things we need to do to make sure that where we focus our energy is where we're going to get the biggest bang for our buck as well. So that's why when I talked about those regions before, yeah, it's three regions. We could spread that Australia wide, but then you start losing impact as well when you do that.
When you take a look at that, then you need money to do that. How are you funded?
Sure. So we have funding at Aurora through a range of organisations and individuals, so government funded, philanthropy, corporates, private donors as well. And we're really careful about the way that we look at those funders and make sure that it is as diverse and sustainable as possible, particularly since I've started in the CEO role in 2020, we've developed some ethical principles for investors, and that really sets clear expectations, which you absolutely need to do as an Aboriginal organisation working in this space, to make sure that we set clear expectations for all of our funders about promoting positive change and recognising and respecting, you know, First Nations countries and cultures and people.
Hey, is it important, and do you work with elders within communities as well, working with young people and elders?
Absolutely. So particularly in our high school program, we work with six elders in our high school program who are staff on the program, and they have been since the beginning. It is absolutely magic to be working with elders. And for, I mean, imagine if you're a high school student and you get to spend three times a year in your school holidays on Aurora program high school camp and spend time with elders and learn from them and be around them and hear their stories. And also they can learn from the younger generations that are coming up as well. They've informed our curriculum. They've informed the way that our Aboriginal mentors work with the students. They are absolutely so important to everything that we do, and they're just incredible jewels in our crown, really.
So it's cultural education as well as formal educations and understanding the significance of how culture fits in as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So the way that culture fits into the program is really, really critical. So we have the elders, we have Aboriginal mentors, majority Aboriginal staff, a curriculum that's steeped in Indigenous knowledge. And to give you an example of that, some of the things that we include in the curriculum for the high school students is memorization techniques that are kind of steeped in song lines. And the elders would talk about the way that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have been handing down stories and learnings and knowledge for thousands and thousands of generations, and using those techniques for things like exam prep. And really working within the culture to engage students in school, to keep resilient and learning how to live in two worlds. And if you can start to master that as a teenager, the way that that can set you up for success later on in life is pretty powerful.
And really practical as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's absolutely very practical. So what we need to do, because of that link, that direct link between cultural knowledge and success in school and success in who you are and a strong cultural identity, we know that to be true. But our next project that we need to focus on is, how do you measure that? I mean, how do you find where and when that cultural element is most effective? And then we can really design our program and improvements around that and share it with other people in the sector as well. Like, I feel like at Aurora, we're at this point now where it's not just about somebody getting a piece of paper at Cambridge, but it's about not just what they do when they come home, but how are we lifting the sector as a whole? How are we sharing our learnings with everyone else who's operating in this space too? So that's kind of the next big challenge that we want to sink our teeth into at Aurora.
It's a terrific program. Lila, thank you for telling us a little bit about it today.